Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Living Hope Baptist Church. We have had just a wonderful time of worship, amen? And we know that it is the power of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever has you bound, God can unchain that from you. And today's message is called A Child of God. And it's from the book of 1 John, toward the end of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And if you, matter of fact, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, whether in printed or digital format, please hold your Bibles up over your head, all over the sanctuary. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. You know, as Americans, or as people living in America, we know, we realize that we have a remarkably good life here compared with the rest of the world. We have a remarkably safe life. There are those that are trying to do evil things now. But that does not stop the overall goodness of a nation created in God we trust. And so, we know that we have a pretty good life. But that is not true for everyone. And not everyone around, and even sometimes not everyone in our great country, is enjoying life. You know, for some, there are those that a good day is just having a crust of bread to eat, a safe place to sleep, maybe a second of, or two a week of some form of joy, and thinking that that is all that there is to life, these few moments captured of joy. Some people say, that's just life. But the Word of God says, not if you know Jesus Christ. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Amen. See, that life is good. It's the life connected to the Lord our God. And that the Lord wants you to have an abundant life. And I'm here today to preach to you the gospel of truth, to tell you the truth and only nothing but the truth, that in spite of what the world may say, without Jesus, the rich are poor, without Jesus, the strong are weak, and without Jesus, the educated are ignorant as the day is long. Amen. Friends, without Jesus Christ, absolutely nothing makes sense in this old world of ours. Without Jesus, man lives a life of stuff and things. And their joy becomes wrapped up in the things and the stuff that they have. For those of you in the sanctuary here today that have some of those little bundles of joy that are back in children's ministry right now, or you're watching on the internet, I'm sure that some of your children, or may not, but I'm sure certain some of your children have already gotten tired of the stuff they just got for Christmas. And they want new stuff. Matter of fact, we're all like that, amen? Amen. When we get married and we're newlyweds, you know, a broom closet's fine. But then you start accumulating stuff. So you got to get a bigger apartment. And then you fill up that apartment with stuff. And then you save up and you're allowed to get a house, amen? Amen. And what happens to the house? Your house fills up with stuff. And I've said this before, that in our world, my wife, Miss Ruth Ann, and I, we've been married 46 glorious years, a testimony to her. But in our world, apparently all of my stuff is junk. And all of her stuff is stuff. And so what I've learned is to try to accumulate stuff that she thinks is stuff. For instance, you know, there are things that we can share joy in. For instance, we are rabid LSU Tiger football fans and New Orleans Saints football fans. And tomorrow we will be driving up to Orlando to sit in a stadium that's going to be somewhere between 40 and 48 degrees and raining to watch my wife's beloved LSU Tigers. They're mine too, but not like my wife and my daughter. But listen, friends. Without Jesus, man lives a life of stuff. Ignorant of his past, afraid of his future. But for those of you who are the redeemed of Christ, For those of you that are children of God, you are heaven bound. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, if you are there, please say, Amen. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. May the Lord add His blessing on His word. May all God's children say, Amen. We have 3 points today, 3 simple points. And I hope you have your bulletins and your notes and you're ready to jot down a few things. I'm going to have a few extra nuggets for you that you can write into the margin. But because we are the child of God, we have 3 things for absolute certain. And our first point today is that as a child of God, I have dignity. I have dignity. You know, everyone wants, there's a difference between pride and dignity. Amen? You can be humble and have dignity in who you are. And as a child of God, because of Jesus Christ, I have dignity. Look at verse 1 one more time, if you would, please. If you dare say amen. Amen. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of love. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Whenever you see that word therefore in the Bible, what does that mean? Look at what it's there for. Absolutely. And it's easy to miss the point here. Look again at that word manner. Did you know that in the original language, and I'm not going to give you guys your Greek lesson this morning, everybody say amen to that. But did you know that in the original language that word manner literally means something from out of this world? It literally means otherworldly, indescribable love. Rephrased with a proper context of that word, excuse me please, verse 1 could be read, God shows to each of us indescribable, heavenly love in calling us sons and daughters of God. Doesn't that make you feel good? Amen. That God loves, that His love for you is indescribable. You know, our love for each other can be described. It can be expressed, but not God's love. It is absolutely indescribable. Now, I really hope you can get a grip on what John is saying here today before you leave. Let it sink in for a moment. John is saying that if you are a child of God, if I am as a child of God, as children of God, you are royalty. You are a royal priesthood. You are a child of the King of Heaven. How so? How do I know that? If you look on the screen, you should see Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. It says, For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? For both He, we want to skip over that one sometimes. But both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. Don't miss that. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Speaking plainly, what is written there is that Christ is in me and I am in Christ. Amen. That's right, the King of Glory. Can you imagine that? He is not ashamed of us. Look at this again at the end of verse 11. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Not ashamed. Can you imagine that? In spite of everything that you may have done in your life, if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, that God and the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you my brother. Not ashamed to call you my sister. Now, how many of us are proud of our entire past? If you stick your hand up, take it right back down. None of us, amen? Yet, in spite of that, Christ declares in His assembly, which is this, amen? Christ is declaring here today that you are His brother in Christ, that you are His sister in Christ. He's not ashamed of you. You are His. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I almost thought I was going to have to give my own testimony. I'm glad you brought yours today. Listen, friends, He declares that in heaven, He declares it at the right hand of God. He declares it here this morning. He declares that to you, and He declares it to my heart that I am His brother in Christ. Amen? Amen. That you are His sister in Christ. And that's important. Amen? He is here this morning in our midst. When you were worshiping this morning and you lost yourself in the moment, imagine the Lord Jesus Christ standing right next to you with His hands lifted up to heaven, singing praises to our Heavenly Father. Right next to you, saying, Father, this is Shirley. This is Rafaela. This is Brother Rennell. This is Brother Gregory. I'm not ashamed of them because they're declaring Your glory in Your house. And as children of God, they're mine. And because they're mine, they are Yours. Amen? Amen. You listen, guys. I preach right off of my notes there, by the way. Verse 11 in that says, we are all of one. It tells us that we are the same. Listen, don't miss this. The same nature. Did you ever think about that? In other words, we are partakers in the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ as Lord, He takes up residence in us. We are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the inheritors of heaven. We become partakers of His divine nature. When God looks at you, He doesn't see sinful old you. He sees the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And no matter how much you may fight, kick, and drag your feet in the shopping mall, He's taking you shopping. Amen? I get all excited about this. You are blood brothers. You are blood sisters of Christ. We have His nature because we're born of God and we're sons and daughters of God. And Jesus Christ is not ashamed to say so. Folks, if you don't get anything else today, get it that you are in the family of God. You are next of kin to the Holy Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Pastor, aren't these delusions of grandeur? Absolutely not. If you would please, look at the screen. In John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23. This is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't miss the location where this prayer takes place. It says, talking to the Father, the Lord Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Have you ever thought about that? The glory which the Lord gave the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ has passed on to you as an inheritor of heaven. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Have loved them as you have loved me. So I have a question for you today. Does God the Father love Jesus more than He loves you? What do you truly think? Do you truly think yes? Well, that's not what verse 23 says. That's not what verse 23 says. Amen? He says that you have loved them as you have loved me. Have you ever imagined such a thing? If you have, say amen. Can you imagine that God loves you as much as He loves the Lord Jesus Christ? It ends. How's that verse? As you have loved me. Listen, friends. I can't imagine that the God in heaven loves a sinner like me as much as his son. I simply cannot imagine it. I see some of you wives looking at your husbands right now. No elbows at this time, no pointing of fingers. But this passage says that. You see, I'm not making stuff up, guys. We don't want to hear from Brister, amen? We want to hear from Bible. We want to hear from the Lord. That's what the passage says. Guys, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than He already loves you. Why? Because He loves you as He loves His Son. Amen. How do we know that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and He stretched out His arm and He says, I love you, I love you, I love you with a love that is eternal. And when you receive Christ as Lord, God the Father receives you and loves you as His Son. You are the next of kin to the Holy Trinity. You are son or daughter of God. You have royal blue blood flowing in your veins. When you speak the name of Jesus, every demon in Broward County trembles and flees because they cannot stand the light. If you think you're under satanic attack, just speak the name of Jesus and He must leave the vicinity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And the Son of God Himself is not ashamed to call me brother. He's not ashamed to call you sister. Because He loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. And that's why you and I have dignity. You want to strut your stuff? I'm a child of God. And I have dignity because of that. It doesn't matter what the world says. Amen? Amen. Second, it says, I have a destiny. Back to 1 John. Look at verse 2 again, if you would, please. If you're there, please say amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Amen? Amen? Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like what? Like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. John says some things haven't been revealed yet. That should be a comfort to you guys. Why is that important? Why is it important that we that some things have not been revealed? Well, let me share this with you. We are called to share what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We are not shared to call what we don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, we are called to be a witness to Jesus Christ in the gospel and to His word. Nobody knows everything. Amen? And listen, many Christians are afraid to share their witness. They're afraid to share their faith because they may be asked something they don't know. The person that you're sharing with may ask you something that you simply don't know the answer to. Don't worry about that. Let me tell you why. It's going to happen. None of us have all the answers. Let me give you the perfect answer when someone does that and they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. You ready for this? Say amen. Amen. This is deep. This is theological. This is your nugget. You say, I don't know. You got that? Repeat after me. I don't know. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen, friends, I'll explain to you why that's a good answer. If you tell people when you don't know something, they'll be more likely to believe you when you tell them something you do know. And what we do know is that God loves them. That Christ died for them. That Christ was in the grave for 3 days, but He rose again to the glory of God the Father. We do know that. So don't worry about it. There are a lot of things we don't know. There are a lot of things we don't know. Like what? Really? Well, let me share a few things that you guys ask me all the time. Pastor, what will we be like when we get to heaven? I don't know. The Bible has clues, but I don't know. What will we look like in heaven? That's the big one. Will I be able to sing in heaven? Yes. You may sound like you do now, but you'll be able to sing in heaven. What age will I be in heaven? We just finished the holidays. What will we eat in heaven? They're all valid questions. But I don't know is a valid answer, friends. It's a valid answer. So don't even try to answer those questions. Listen, folks, here's what I learned as the children's pastor at Living Hope Baptist Church. Children's pastor for 7 years. I learned that a four-year-old can ask a pastor a question that nobody but God can answer. I can't tell you how many times I was trying to quieten the children down. And some of them were a little more active than others. And I would go and I would stand next to them. You know, like Jaden and Aaron. I'm calling you guys out. Because they were so excited about the things of God. And they would talk back and forth with each other. And then as things happened during that class, they would ask me a question. And I'd have to tell them, young men, I don't know. I'll get with you guys next class. Amen? Listen, guys, it's okay for that. Now, there is a lot that we can know. There's things that we don't know, but there's a lot that we do know. In fact, there are three of them right here in this passage that we just read. First of all, it reads that Christ is going to appear. How many of you are looking forward to that? Amen. How many? Let's try that again. How many of you are looking forward to that? Amen. And we say all the time, we want the Lord to come back. Amen. And it would be wonderful. It would be awesome when Christ came back if I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. If it's Sunday morning, it'd be awesome if I'm in church when Christ comes back and I get raptured. Otherwise, it makes for the world's most awkward moment. We do know that Christ will appear. Think of it this way, friends. Let's simplify this. Let's make it something we can all understand a little easier. Life is like a Broadway play. You with me? With three acts. We are in act number one. Listen to me. When you go to a Broadway play, they give you a playbill, right? All right. Listen to me. And the way that you know the theme and the players, and you know who the lead is by that playbill. The playbill they give you tells you the theme, it tells you the players, and it tells you who the main actor, who the star is. Friend, this is our playbill right here. This is our playbill. The theme is God's plan for our salvation. And the lead, we are part of the cast. But the lead, the star, is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, from the first book of this, the first page of this Bible to the last page, is the star. Right now we're in act number one, which has five scenes. Scene one, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. At scene two, the young Christ of Nazareth goes through his life. Scene number three, Jesus is the preacher and he's the miracle worker. Scene number four is this crucified Son of the living God. Scene number five, there's a burial, resurrection, and ascended Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the curtain comes down on act number one. That's where we are on the play, folks. That's where we are in this scene. We're in a pause between the acts. Got it? We're just waiting for act two to begin. And waiting for the curtain to go up, stands Christ in the wings, ready to step foot back on the stage of history. He's never gone anywhere, amen? But he will appear again. The star is ready to step back on the stage. Only this isn't a make-believe drama, this is real life. This is going to happen. He will reappear. The Bible says that Christ went to glory and he's coming back in glory. Bank on it. It's true. Jesus is coming again. He could come back right this second. If not by in this second, surely the next 5 seconds. If not the next 5 seconds, surely by the time the service is over or while we're on the way home. Amen. Here's what my joy would be. If we're leaving here to go home, change clothes, go up to Orlando. If all of a sudden the Lord Jesus came back and my car would have to park itself. I'd like to see the secular world explain that. The Rennells, Miss Shirley, Miss Sandy, Doreen, your whole crowd. All of you guys. The Gonzaleses. Brother Earl, good to see you this morning. All of us, amen. Hallelujah. Wondering, Earl came here in a wheelchair. Where's he now? Running the streets of glory. Amen? Amen. Running the streets of glory when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. You see, friends, he's coming again. The second thing that we know, that's the first thing, is that we will see him just as he is. Did you catch that? That we will see Christ just as He is. In our play, when we last saw Jesus in Act 1, He wore a crown of thorns. But when He comes again, we will see Him just as He is in His glory, crowned with many crowns. The Lord of glory. How's that song go? Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Oh, let it rise. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So first, He's going to appear. Second, we are going to see Him. And number three, we're going to be like Him. Can you imagine such a thing? Look again in verse 2b of 1 John chapter 3. He says, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be what? Like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. Listen, Jesus is God. And what did God tell Moses when Moses said, I want to see Your glory? He says, no man can see My glory and live. But when Christ returns and we're caught up to be with Him in an instant, we will be changed to be like Him and behold Him like He is. The full, radiant, resplendent glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus dwells in such glory right now that we cannot even begin to approach it. We cannot be in its presence. God's glory surpasses all of the suns of all of the galaxies. And all of the creation. We have sent a man to the moon, but we will never send a man to the sun. Amen? You can't land on the surface of the sun. And we cannot behold His glory in this sinful state. Ah! But when we're changed to be like Him, we will be able to be with the Son and behold His glory. So first we have dignity. Secondly, I have a destiny. Third, we now have a duty. We have a duty. D-U-T-Y. Look at verse 3 again, if you would. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Well, that's one of those difficult passages, right? I see some furrowed brows out there. What exactly does that mean? Well, because Christ is coming again, there are realities in our life that we should live by. And what realities am I talking about? Well, first, we should be looking forward to His return. Amen. That should be looked forward to with excitement. That word hope, by the way, did you know what hope means? Biblically speaking, hope means to look for something with absolute certainty mingled with anticipation. I'm not sure you got that. We're getting toward the end of the message. I'm going to say that one more time. Hope, biblically speaking, means looking at something with absolute certainty mingled with anticipation. Now, when I was young, Miss Alice, my mother watches these sermons every week. This may come as a shock to all of you. I was not a model child. Well, you didn't have to laugh all that much. And sometimes we would be traveling somewhere before my baby brother Gary was born. And me and my middle brother Ronnie, who's gone to be with the Lord, we would be in the back seat and it would sound like revival was going on back there. And we would be misbehaving while the family was driving somewhere. I know that's hard to imagine. Just stretch your imagination. And my dad would turn around and say, when we get home, I'm going to give you boys a licking. Now, what did that mean to us? You see, that was an event that was a certainty. But we certainly did not look at it with anticipation. All right? We knew it was coming, but there was no joyful certainty to that. There was no joyful anticipation. We were not looking forward to it. What else? Well, we can also anticipate without hope. We can anticipate something, but there's no hope of that happening. What do I mean? Well, friends, do we have any golfers in here besides myself? Stick your hand up. Don't act like it's a sinful thing, man. All right. Listen, friends. We can anticipate that our wife is going to buy for our birthday a golf vacation. But there is no certainty of that hope. Hallelujah. And all the golf wives said, Yeah, I knew I could get you guys involved here. Friends, for the Christian, we should live in hopeful anticipation that Christ is absolutely, certainly returning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God glory in His house. And we should be living that way as well. We should be don't miss this. We should be living like we know Christ is coming again. Look again at verse 3, if you would. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. How do we purify ourselves? It is so simple. We're in chapter 3. If you would, please, just look up in chapter 1, verse 28. If you have your Bibles open, if you do, say amen. Look at chapter 1, verse 28. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, 1 John chapter 1, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That was chapter 2, verse 28. My apologies. If chapter 1 didn't have 28 verses. Are you on the same verse again now? Well, let me read that again. My apologies. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I don't want to be ashamed before the Lord. In other words, live for Christ, so that when Christ returns, we can have confidence and not be ashamed. May I ask you something? This is such a simple question. Are you ready for Jesus to come today? Are you ready for Jesus to come today? I mean, is your heart pure in its love for others? Or is your heart a headquarters for hate? You see, we have a new series coming in the new year. It's going to be all about being radically on mission for what God has called us to do. But friends, think about it. If you knew, absolutely knew that Jesus Christ were coming back today, would you start living differently? Do you have a friend, a family member, a co-worker that you need to share Jesus Christ with? Then do it. Then do it. Don't worry about whether or not you can answer all the questions. Friends, every person hoping in the return of Jesus Christ purifies themselves by abiding in Christ. Read the Word of God. Come to church and worship the Lord. Be all involved. Be all up in Jesus. Amen? For just a moment, imagine going to heaven. Think of it this way. How do we apply that to our lives? For just a moment, imagine going to heaven like a plane ride to some wonderful place. Listen, guys, if you are saved, you're going. You are going. You are already booked to heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're at the airport. You have your ticket. The plane is about to be boarded. So yes, you have your ticket, but wouldn't it be better to show up dressed like you were going to sit in first class? Amen. Clothed in righteousness? Guys, in heaven we will all be like Christ, clothed in righteousness. I'm going to say that again. In heaven we'll be all like Jesus Christ, clothed in righteousness. Wouldn't it be much better if we were a little more used to the clothes? Wouldn't it be better? A little more familiar with our righteousness. A little more familiar with glorifying God. What's the pastor say? Purify yourself. Abide in Christ. In Christ alone. Now there are some folks here today or watching on the internet that are wondering, do I, meaning they, have a ticket? That's a question you should be asking yourself if you're sitting here in the sanctuary today. If you're watching on the internet. The answer is easily determined. Have you received Christ Jesus as the Lord of your life? Have you done that? If you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, then in the words of the old Beatles song, you've got a ticket to ride. It's just that simple. But if not, why not take care of that today? We're going to be closing in just a second. Take care of that today because Jesus is coming back. He absolutely is. The plane is going to leave. And we want you on it. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to ask for anyone that has received Christ as Lord today to come forward and to declare that publicly. Here's what I want you to understand. There's not a person sitting in this sanctuary that's not praying for you right now. We don't want to go to heaven without you. The sense that the world has that Christians are mean-spirited because they think only they're going to heaven is so wrong. We want everybody up in heaven, amen? Just as our Father does. You know, listen, friends, but there's only one way to do it. Jesus said in John 14:6, when Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. How do we get to heaven, in other words? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In closing, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know because of Jesus Christ I have dignity. I know because of Jesus Christ I have a glorious destiny. And because of Jesus Christ, I have a heavenly destination that is with Him. And because of that, I have a mandated duty to share the love of Christ with everyone. Why? Because I want them to get to where we're going. Where there is no sadness. There is no sickness. Where the Lord will wipe away every tear. Because of Jesus Christ, I am heaven bound. Hallelujah. Would you like to join me? Would you like to join me on the road to heaven? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.